exclamation. It's exciting. It's wonderful. How happy! So, y'all want to, everybody get your Bible and be ready to read as I give us the scripture. And then we can have a little Bible study. Lord helping us. All right, is everybody ready to take the scripture? You ready to give the scripture, Brother Gordon? Psalm 1 and 1. All right. Next. Brother Danny, Psalm 2 and 12. Sister, Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Next, Sylvia, Psalm 34 and 8. Brother Jim, Psalm 40 and 4. Sister over here, you want one? Psalm 41 and 1. Brother Mark, you want one? Psalm 65 and 4. You want one, sister? Psalm 84, 4 and 5. Psalm 89, 15 and 16. Okay. Roberta, you want one? Psalm 94, 12 and 13. Sister Charlotte, Psalm 112 and 1. 112 and 1. Brother James, Psalm 119, 1 and 2. All right, sister, Psalm 128 and 1. Okay, brother, Isaiah 30 and 18. Now I'm going to give you some New Testament scriptures. We may not be able to cover all these, but I'm going to give you some New Testament scriptures and the word in the Greek. I'm sorry, I said Greek a while ago, but this, how happy, that's from the Hebrew, expression. How happy! But in the Greek, it means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off. That's what this word means in the Greek. Matthew, we need a bunch here. Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Who is the next? Did you get one, brother?
I got
one. All right. Start here and just start and each one read one. Matthew 1, Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Maybe each one read two verses. Okay? Sister Gwen, Brother Ivan, and this little sister over here, I can't make her a name. Anyway, you read, each one of you read two. 2, 4, 6, 10, 12, 4, 12. 2, 4, 6, 10, 8, 10, 12. There we go. Okay. Sister Marilyn, Luke 1, 45. Sister Pink, you want to read one? John 20 and 29. Okay, brother and sister. Titus 2, 11 and 13. 11 to 13. You take those three, four scriptures. 11, 12, and 13. Well, there's three of them. Sister Dina, James 1, 12, 25. Now we got Revelations. Levi, Revelations 14, 13. Okay, who's next? Oh, you want one? You want to read one? You have a Bible? Okay, Owen, you read Revelations 19:9. And let's see. Next. Got two more now. Revelation 20:6. You want to get that one, brother? And all right, who wants 22:14? Revelation 22:14. Wendy may not be able to get all of these, but let's start in. So Psalm 1:1. What does it say, Brother Gordon?
It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night."
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walking, standing, sitting.
These are
expressions of your conduct and the way you go, the way you live.
Yeah.
Blessed is that man. He will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Will not listen to people. And we got a lot of talkers today that's going to tell you all kinds of things. But Lord help us that we'll be careful to keep our delight in the law of the Lord.
Yeah.
And in his law, let's have it as a part of our very center of our being. It's so wonderful to have the Lord give you scriptures in the night.
Yeah.
You ever do that to you? Wake you up and scripture just
yeah.
unfold to you.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Blessed. You talk about making you feel happy when you feel the Holy Spirit inspiring you, directing you, inspiring your heart, opening it up, revealing it to you.
Yeah.
You talk about happiness and joy. That's the greatest thing. In fact, I say that the greatest blessing, the greatest gift, the greatest treasure you can have is to have the Spirit of the living God living within you.
Amen.
That's the greatest thing. You can have everything else. Well, that's the kingdom of God. You take a scripture that tells that? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that is happiness. That is, praise the Lord. Not walking in the counsel of the world, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful, or standing in the way of sinners. But your delight is in the law of the Lord. Study the Bible. Study it. Get it in your mind. It takes time to do that. You get it in your mind, get it in your memory, and then it could just be called. The Lord can bring it to your mind. You studied it, you got it in your thoughts and your mind. Now He can bring it to your mind. Praise the Lord.
But Leslie, if you don't learn it when you're young, you kind of forget it when you're older.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's kind of the way human is. There's a tendency to forget when you get older. But I'll tell you, though, there's some of them, I believe the Lord will be so blazing in your mind that you won't forget. Praise the Lord. That's a happy way of life, is to follow the Lord. And I would to encourage young people, seek this kind of a life. The Word of God in your heart, and living and praying and communing and be filled with the Spirit of God, and you will have happiness and success and blessing. In fact, he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added.
Yes.
What Jesus said. It's wonderful. All right, Psalm 2 and 12.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
We can't really read this scripture without going into some of the rest of this psalm. What's this psalm about? The second psalm. What's it about? Come on, help me. It's the prophecy of our Lord Jesus. It is quoted in Acts, the 4th chapter. The first 2 verses are quoted when the brethren went together for prayer after being threatened by the authorities. This is, they quoted this in their prayer. What?
What was the text where it was quoted?
Psalm 2 and 1 and 2. And Acts, the 4th chapter. Let's see, I probably have it here. Acts 4:25. It's quoted. They quoted that. And then the 7th verse is quoted in, let's see, Acts 13 and 33. Paul quotes this in his message at Antioch and Pisidia. He quotes this, and he says that when it comes to the resurrection, now no more to return to corruption, he says, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." He applied that to the resurrection. "Thou art my son, this day." Jesus was begotten of the Virgin Mary. He was the Son of God at birth. But when he was resurrected from the dead, as Romans 1 and about 2 or 3 tells us, when he is resurrected from the dead, he with power is called the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. So Jesus was the Son of God when he was born of the Virgin Mary. But when he was raised from the dead, he's declared to be the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. Now that's Acts 13. Now you'll find verse 9, Revelations 2 and 7. Jesus himself quoted. And then this verse we had, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed," or "how happy are all they that put their trust in him." See? Kiss. Embrace. Embrace the Son. Accept him. Receive him. Receive his discipline. Receive his correction. Now, there's one of the translations. I don't know if that's Septuagint or what. One of them says, "Receive his discipline. Embrace him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry." Why would the Son want to be angry with us? What? Why would the Son? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. If you do not embrace the Son after all he's done, after all he suffered and the price he paid, if you refuse to embrace him, it'll incur his anger. Lest he be angry and ye perish on the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. For quickly may his wrath blaze, another translation says. So we need to embrace the Son. When he gives you a call, when he convicts you, you need to respond to that. Because if you don't, then you are belittling him and despising him, and that incurs his anger. And he has a rightful reason to be angry with you. He has a rightful cause. But it says, blessed, how happy are all they that put their trust in Him. I just love this. I remember one time Brother Austin Wilson was at our house in Anthony, Kansas, and we were visiting. And I don't know how it came up. We were just somehow visiting and talking about spiritual things. And Brother Austin says, well, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 2, and he just began to quote that. And as he quoted it, the whole thing just opened up to me. I had never realized that. I had thought in my mind, it's kind of hard to think that I'd be so ignorant, but that was the way I was. I thought when it said kiss the Son, that's talking about Judas kissing Jesus. That ain't what that's talking about. That's talking about you and me embracing Jesus. Not a literal physical kiss, but it's a spiritual kiss. It's a spiritual greeting, a spiritual embrace. How happy you are. What? Yeah.
This verse comes in, and also in Colossians.
Yeah.
And 26, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in the saints, in whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles.
Yes, which is hope of glory. That's right. Thank the Lord. Oh, Jesus is real. He is real to us. You can't make Him real to me. I can't make Him real to you. But it's the Holy Spirit that reveals Him to us. And that's the foundation. That's the foundation of the church, isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus said? Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. But my Father which is in heaven, talking to Peter. Peter just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it says, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. In other words, you're a rock. That's what the word Peter means. It means a rock. But it didn't mean he is building the church on Peter like some people think. But he says, you're a rock, Peter. You're a little rock, maybe. We could apply it like that. But upon this rock, I will build my church. About what? The dark Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, Psalm 32 and 1 and 2. I guess you just keep that microphone going.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
All right. Blessed is he whose transgression. Happy! How happy is he? This is quoted in the New Testament. Let's see. I've got it. I think it's Paul quoted that. And well, anyway, it's quoted. Maybe you might know where it is. It's quoted in the New Testament. Blessed is he. How happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I was thinking that was Romans. Second Corinthians 4 and 7.
There was just a reference, 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, but I think she's got
that. Oh, I was just wanting to find out where that was that he quoted that. Anybody else find out?
Romans
4 and 7. That's it. Paul quoted it like this. Even, verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know, it thrills me to see how the New Testament writers quotes and applies the Old Testament scriptures. That's a key for us to help us to understand how to go with these scriptures. Blessed, how happy is a man. You know, when you come to a place where you can get a hold of faith to believe your sins are forgiven and they're not going to be held against you no more, don't that make you feel glad? Sure it does. All these things I did, you mean they're forgiven? They are forgiven. Who was it that he told someone, woman, thy sins are forgiven thee? What kind of a woman was that? I wouldn't let him touch me. That woman, she's a sinner. That's a woman, you know, that came to Jesus and weeping, washed his feet with her tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head, anointed them with ointment. It doesn't say she said a word, but Jesus read in her heart that she was repenting of her sins and wanting forgiveness. He said, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we all need when we come in life, get our sins forgiven. I'm thankful I came to the place in my youth, not quite 18 years old, where I got my sins all under the blood forgiven. Wonderful. All right. Psalm 34 and 8. You got that, dear?
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
How happy is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see. Reach out your affections, your heart, your feelings, your thoughts, your desires. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, how happy is the man. Praise the Lord.
To really get to know who God is.
Yeah.
The only way that we really get to know who God is to look into His Word.
That's right.
And then apply it to our lives.
Amen.
And see if it works. And then once we find out that it works, that He does what He says He will do, if we do what He says for us to do, then He proves Himself strong. He'll work wonderful miracles in our lives. And
happy!
And it just causes our love for Him.
Oh, my. Fills your soul with joy and rejoicing. Praise the Lord. All right. Chapter 40 and verse 4. You want to read the first three verses would be good. But
first three verses?
Yeah, go ahead and read the first three verses.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry.
Amen.
He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord.
All right, listen.
Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed is that man. Happy is that man that trusteth, maketh the Lord his trust. We won't go on down, but on farther down in this chapter is quoted in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, neither wouldst thou that was offered by the law, but mine ears hast thou opened, and the Greek says, a body hast thou prepared for me. A body. Christ came down into a human body. This here in the Hebrew, they said that someone read or found out that one of the translators, when they was translating it from the Hebrew 350 years before Christ, they translated from the Hebrew to the Greek. And the one that was translating saw a error in the Hebrew text. And they had translated it, mine ears hast thou opened. My ears, they translated that. But he saw there was a mistake, and he corrected it, and it was a body hast thou prepared. Open, prepared, made available for me. I don't know, I like to study about things like that. That's wonderful. Blessed, how happy is a man that trusteth in thee. It's wonderful. All right. 41 and 1. Who's next?
Blessed is he that considereth the poor.
Yes, go ahead. Oh, yeah.
Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble.
Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, dear ones, I could tell you some stories, but I ain't going to. About this deal about helping people in times of need. But I remember one day it came to us to help someone, in a pretty heavy way. They wanted help. They was in need of help. And it took humility, it took meekness, it took getting hold to go ahead and do that with victory. But when I did, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I'm going to reward you for that. And I'm going to tell you, he did. Blessed, how happy is the man that will help the poor in his need. Considereth the poor. Blessed, how happy is that man. Now I know there's some people who take advantage of that. But the Lord is looking down and he sees our hearts. And he will bless, he will reward you for your sacrifice to help others. All right?
Brother Leslie?
Yes.
Now I guess I can't keep quiet. The Lord inspired me to help someone one time. And
yeah.
Co-worker was dying of cancer. He was 26 years old.
Really?
And I felt burdened to be there and help him. And he burnt wood because he was on disability. His pronatural was pretty bad. So I went and got a load of wood for him, brought it to his house, and I started unloading it. And his wife came out and says, I just can't believe you're doing this. I said, well, I felt like I need to do it and help you folks out. And then pretty soon she came back out and says, my husband wants to talk to you, which is a co-worker.
Yeah.
So I got done, went inside the house, washed up, and sat down. And I said, well, what do you need? His name was Andy. He says, I want to get saved. So I felt like that good deed that the Lord inspired me to do for him.
Everything.
And he was a Catholic, raised a Catholic, a Catholic.
Wonderful.
Been involved in drugs and alcohol and everything. And he sat there and he wanted to get saved. And we prayed through, and the first thing he wanted to get rid of was his television. So that's what it can happen when you do things.
You'll never forget that, will you?
No, I'll never forget it.
Oh, dear ones, happy is the man that considers the poor. What does another scripture say? As you have, therefore, opportunity, do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. So, it's in the Bible. What did Jesus say? If anybody asks you for anything, what are you supposed to do? Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that borrow from thee that are turned not away. Boy, you can't get around those scriptures.
Amen.
You don't want to, really. You'll hurt yourself if you refuse to help your fellow man. You'll hurt yourself. Yes, yeah, spiritually poor, that's the most important thing.
Also, many times you might be asked a question that might be hard to answer.
Yeah.
Because you know it could possibly be taken with offense or whatever. I think that we're not to put our own emotions or whatever in the middle of that. And on this trip out, we were allowed to go visit my sister, who had once been saved for a short period of time. And when she backslid, she became pretty bitter about the truth that was one of our most critical people. She would look on our lives, and though she loves us, she would say hurtful things about just different things.
Yeah.
One of the things I recall was on our last trip to visit her, it was in the summer, and we dressed the way we dressed. And her husband, not knowing, said something about being so hot and wearing what we wear. And she says, "Oh, they think God wants them to dress like that." And we just kind of let it go and, you know, just whatever. But on this trip, she asked some really good questions. And in some case, some way, it could have been hard to answer some of her questions because I know before, on the same line, she was very offended. But this time, God just gave the grace and God opened the door and we were able to answer her hard questions with the truth. And she was able to receive.
Now, she was hungry. She was poor.
That's right. She's spiritually poor.
I tell you, that's... In fact, that's a basic thought through the whole gospel. It's the poor, blessed. Isaiah 61 and 1 and quoted in Luke 4 when Jesus read it there on at the synagogue in Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, that's not altogether literally poor. It's that spiritual poor. Blessed are the... Oh, hey, we've got that coming up, don't we? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Don't mean poor spiritually. Or it doesn't mean poor just financially altogether. But poor in spirit, realizing your need. Oh, Brother Boston Wilson's message on that on one of my tapes. Oh, my. Blessed are the poor in spirit.
There are many.
What?
There are many poor in spirit.
Oh, well, I'll tell you. Well, actually, everybody's poor in spirit, but not everybody realizes it.
Yes.
We're all poor. Poor means having little or no means, destitute, needy. That's what we all are. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on. You got some more here. Psalm 65 and 4. Who has it? Brother Mark, you have that? Psalm 65 and 4.
Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple.
Amen. How happy is the man whom thou choosest, or you call, you see his in need. Can you think of somebody in the Bible that got a special invitation from the Lord and through one of his servants? I'm talking in the Acts of the Apostles. Can you think of someone? What about a man? He was a centurion up at Caesarea. And he was praying and fasting one day. He was seeking God. He was poor and needy. He was a real prominent man. He was a centurion. Centurion is a man over 100 soldiers. But he was seeking God. And he would give to help the poor. It tells it. He would give. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared as he was in prayer and said, Your prayer has heard. Cornelius, your prayer is heard. Send now to Joppa. That was down the coast just a few miles. Send now to Joppa and call for Simon Peter. He lives with a tanner by the seaside. And he'll come and tell you what you need to do. See, that man was poor. And he was praying and seeking. Can you think of another man that was seeking and the Lord directed one of his servants to go to him? What?
Ethiopian.
The Ethiopian. He's going along. He'd been to the temple, been to Jerusalem to worship. And he was on his way back to Ethiopia, riding along his chariot, reading the scriptures. And the Lord spoke to Stephen, no, Philip, and says, go south to the desert. And there's a big meeting going on up there where he was. But the Lord says, you go down there. Went down. He went down there, he saw that chariot riding. The Spirit of the Lord said, go near to him. And as he come up, and to me, it doesn't just say this, but it just appears that he kind of walked along or was running along beside the chair. He heard the man reading something. What was it? What chapter was it? Isaiah what? Isaiah 53. He's reading that chapter. Do you understand what to read? How can I if somebody help me? Get up in there. Come on up in the chariot and help me here. Oh, there was one soul right there. He was hungry. Don't you know that God knows where there is a hungry soul that's seeking?
Amen.
You found one, didn't you? I know. Oh, that was wonderful.
We thought we'll get off at the next exit. Well, we just crossed over the knoll and it wasn't a mile to the next exit. Right there was exit 41. And we pulled off there. And the Lord caused the tractor to drift down into that man's garage door and break that garage door open. And there he was standing in front of the garage when we pulled up.
Oh, he's a man who doesn't need you.
Spent 3 hours, nearly 3 hours with him to teach him out of the Word of God. And then we prayed about the problem with the car. And the Lord said, get in the car and just drive. We said, it's going 1,300 miles and not a symptom of the problem.
Well, that was the Lord. He's reaching a hungry soul. I pray this way a lot in my prayers. Lord, is there anyone that I can help? Help me. Guide me to them. It's just, this is a wonderful thought, isn't it? All right, 60. Let's see, where'd we go? 84. Oh, this 84 psalm. Oh, my, this is a wonderful psalm. Let's read that, and then I want to tell you what it says in the Septuagint Greek. Tell you what it says in that. 84 and 4 and 5. Who's sister? You have that.
Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising God. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them.
Read the next one too.
Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools.
Now this blessed, see this blessed, both of these is this word, how happy. Blessed is a man. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They'll be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca. That word Baca means well. Valley of... Valley of Baca. Valley of Weeping. Yes, I know why I said that. Wells. Oh, yeah. Valley of Weeping. Now, the Septuagint says something like this. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, who purposes in his heart to go up the valley of weeping to the place you have appointed, and there will the lawgiver grant blessings. Now, if you ever read, see the Septuagint, look down and find it. This is the way it says. Blessed is a man who purposes in his heart to go up the valley of weeping. In other words, endure the sorrows and troubles of life with courage. Go right on up through and be faithful and to the place that God has appointed, and that God's wanting you to get to, and there the Lord pour out blessings upon you. I've had times in my life, thank the Lord, go through great sorrow. Oh, terrible sorrow. Sorrow you never had before. But as we go up through that valley of weeping, God meets us there with wonderful blessing. When our little boy died, 1964, 2.5 years old. I never thought I'd ever have to beat that. It broke our hearts. We were weeping and weeping. But God blessed in that experience. Okay, Psalms 89, 15 and 16. This is a wonderful one too. Oh, they're all good. I don't know. I want to hold you too late, but they're all so good. 89, 15, and 16.
Blessed is the people that know this joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted.
Praise the Lord. Blessed is the people who shall know the joyful sound. What's the joyful sound? What's he talking about? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. It's a joyful sound. Jesus is alive. He's at the right hand of God. He's interceding. He can save. He can sanctify. He can save you to the uttermost. He can give you the victory over sin. And he has eternal life for you. That's the joyful sound. Blessed is the people who shall know. Not just hear it with these ears, but know it, recognize it, realize it, the depths of it. Oh, my. You think about the different messages. You ever study these messages in Acts, Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 10, where Peter's message at Cornelius' house, Acts 13, Paul and Silas and can't remember the name of the place, but and then Acts 17, Paul's message in Athens. Study those messages; they are full. It is the joyful sound, and most of them pretty well sums up that Christ died and he rose again. Thank the Lord. All right, Psalm 94, 12 to 13. Oh, I thank the Lord for these wonderful scriptures.
Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked.
That's quite a scar, isn't it? Blessed is the man whom thou chastens and teaches out of thy law. We all need to be good students of the law. You went to school 12 years, most of us, 12 years. But now you're in a school, there's no graduation until you leave this world. You need to be taught. Chasten means discipline. What does it say in Hebrews 12 about blessed is a man whom the Lord chastises? Chastises. And he scourges every son whom he receives. There's discipline in the things of God. God is a disciplinary Savior. God. He disciplines us. He lets things happen to us to help teach us. Blessed, how happy you go through these things and you learn wonderful truths and your soul is blessed.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
The blessing of being spanked.
What?
The blessing of being spanked.
Man, the Lord has a way of spanking, doesn't he? He's got a way to do that.
You said there that no chastening
for the present is joyous, but rather grievous. Nevertheless, what?
Afterward,
it yieldeth the people fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. No, it's not very pleasant when you go, but it works out for the good. I tell you. Oh, you're talking about your mother?
I'm talking about my mother. My spanker is here. And she determined that it was going to be, it was either going to be me or her, and she determined it wasn't going to be her who gave me it. She had spanked me.
Thank the Lord.
I ended up being a juvenile delinquent.
I'll tell you, it means a lot.
And now I enjoy the blessings.
Sure. Yeah, it pays.
But I'm enjoying it now because my mother invested that much in me. That's the way it is with God.
Yes.
He invested in us. He spanks us.
He be glad for the chastisements.
And out of that, we can have the blessing. It will stay in there and receive it.
Blessed is the man chastening. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous. So the Lord is so good to us. I'm glad we have in our world today people, a lot of the big wheels and all, they're telling us you can't chastise, you can't discipline your children, you can't spank them. In fact, some places you'll get in trouble with the law if you do. That's the kind of world we live in. But I'm thankful for every spanking I ever got from my mother. I'm thankful for it. I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't had discipline and control. My daddy told me when I got up in high school, he says, when night comes, you're at home. You don't go anywhere else. You're at home. I couldn't go play basketball, be on the basketball team at school. I couldn't do that. I wanted to off of bat. My coach wanted me to be on the team. But my daddy said, no, you'd be at home. And I thought, well, you don't want me to have any fun. And it was hard. But I submitted to it, and I'm glad I did, because I don't think I would be saved today if I had been turned loose.
Brother Leslie, spiritually the same way. If we were left to our own devices, spiritually it's the same.
That's right, same way spiritually.
If we were left to our own devices, we would turn, every man turn to their own way.
Yes. That's not God's way.
And over there in Hebrews, where he said this is a mark of love and ownership of the Father when he chastens us.
Yes.
But if ye be without
chastisement, what is he?
Then you are illegitimate.
Illegitimate. That's what it says. You're not real children if you're not without chastisement. Oh,
into the ways of the beautiful, liberating ways of righteousness.
How blessed.
That's right. How happy is that?
How happy. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, shall we go on?
My mother just loved me too much to let me act like she cared too much about us. God cares too much about us. Let us misbehave.
The Lord loves
you. Psalms 112 and 1. Who has it?
Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth.
Oh, my.
The generation of the upright shall be blessed.
That whole chapter is so good. One part of it is quoted in the New Testament. Yet this verse, verse 9, yet this verse is given to the poor. It's quoted in 2 Corinthians Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Oh, if you just realize how happy you can be if you'll really follow and seek the Lord and live according to his precious word. Psalm 119, 1 and 2 now.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart.
Blessed, happy is that man, the undefiled, the pure, the clean, the obedient, the faithful and true, that keep his testimonies and walk in the law and seek him with the whole heart. What people need to do, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. Psalms 128:1. Oh, here's a good one. Oh, I love this psalm.
Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways.
Read another little bit.
Oh, 1 and 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee.
What will your wife be like?
Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants around about thy table.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Blessed is man, everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his happiness. You know, there's nothing so wonderful as to have a happy home and a happy marriage and
Amen.
A happy family. Oh, let's look back on these 50 years my wife and I have been here together. Oh, my, we've had wonderful times. Wonderful experiences we'll never forget, cherish for the rest of our life. All right. Y'all want to go some more? Isaiah 30:18. Somebody read that.
And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious
yes.
unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him.
And blessed are all they that wait for him. Learn how to wait on the Lord. You think of a lot of other scriptures about waiting on the Lord, can't you? Isaiah 40 and 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up their wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. There's just lots of scriptures. Psalm 37 speaks about it several places. They wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen thy heart.
I like to think that that word wait right here in the term of being in a restaurant and being served by a waiter or a
yeah.
waitress. I don't like to think of it in terms of being idle and just twiddling your thumbs and just waiting on God to do something.
Yeah.
But I think of it in terms of he's my master and I'm
and
at his service. And I'm saying, Lord, how may I serve you?
Amen. And listen to him. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, you want to run through the New Testament now? Matthew 5. 1 to 12. Okay, each one of you read 2 verses in that.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying,
All right.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Oh, my.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Oh, thank the Lord. Well, it's a blessed. We call that the Beatitude. Blessed the poor Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that are the meek. I was thinking, study about that word meek. It means a lot to be meek. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness.
That's a verse that the Lord used to bring me to the Church of God. I've been here in the Church of God when I was a teenager.
Oh.
And just as Brother Warner had experienced,
yeah,
at that time they rejected holiness. And so I didn't know anything about holiness. But I knew in my heart things wasn't right. And
yeah,
I would talk to the ministers, and they would tell me, oh, Brother Jeff, you just need to read and pray more. That you can't really live holy, that you're in this flesh, and that God's grace covers your sin. But I'd see this scripture and many others like it, and so I began quoting it in my prayer, and I began seeking after God and claiming this scripture right here. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I thought, if I can have righteousness, Lord, I want it.
Amen.
So he led me to
you begin to seek.
Blessed
are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. If you're not hungry and thirsty, they can pile it all around. You won't even want it.
It works.
It sure does. You hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you'll be filled. Okay, I want someone to read Luke 1:45. This is Elizabeth's words to Mary. As Mary came down to see her after Mary was given the word that she was to be the mother of the Savior, she got right away and went down to visit because the angel told her that her cousin Elizabeth was 6 months with child.
Mm-hmm.
And she was called barren. So Mary hurried down there and she was wanting to see Elizabeth. I don't know, you just imagine all the wonderful things they talked about. But Luke tells about as she came in the door and greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth says, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. For Boaz, who is this that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Oh, and then she mentions, she says, "Blessed." Somebody read that.
"And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord."
How did Mary respond to the angel's message? What did she say? At first she asked a question. She wondered about it. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? How can I have a child? And then the angel explained to her. And then Mary, what did she say? "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." Well, now who was it that said, "How can this be? How can this be?" Who was that? Zechariah? What kind of sign did the Lord give him? For about 9 months, he couldn't say anything. Now, if the Lord would give you that kind of sign every time, you would be in trouble, wouldn't you? Well, you just don't want to do that. You want to just believe. "Blessed is she that believe." There'll be a performance of those things told her from the Lord. We want to have that kind of faith today. All right, let's get John 20 and 29.
"Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed."
Blessed are they who haven't seen and yet have believed. This Thomas, he had said, "Except I shall see the print of the nails in his hands and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe." And when the Lord came the next time, he just singled him out right away. "Reach hither, Thomas, thy hand, and feel my hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." What did Thomas say? "My Lord, my God." Thomas, because you have seen, may you believe. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. We haven't seen with our eyes, but we believe with our hearts. Oh, praise God. Oh, I don't know. You want to go just a little farther? Titus 2, 11, 13. Yeah, here we go, brother and sister Sanchez.
Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men,
teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
That's a wonderful text. Looking for that blessed hope. That wonderful, wonderful hope of the transformation of this mortal to immortality. That's what that is. That's our hope. We're going to be immortal. When He comes, we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The last trump. The trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised to immortality. And we shall be changed. That's a blessed hope. Oh, Lord, help us that we might be counted worthy of that hope. Jesus says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, Lord, help. Okay. James 1:12-25.
Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Hey, I didn't get that one, but that's a good one.
Oh,
I wanted 12, James 1 and 12.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Oh, yeah, and 25 too. Okay. Oh, thank the Lord. This man shall be blessed in his deed if he looks in the law of liberty and continues therein. All right, let's go to Revelation 14 and 13.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them.
Praise the Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. It's a wonderful text, isn't it? Blessed, happy. You know, if you know you're dying and you know you're right, ready, that's a wonderful thing. Brother Austin Wilson's father, O.B. Wilson Sr., facing his death, Brother Austin said, he asked him, he said, Father, the saints are praying for you. I want to know, how is it with you? How has the fleshier look to you? He answered just simply. He said, I believe on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood, I'll be saved. That was his hope. He said nothing. He had spent years in the service of God. He had preached. He had labored. He said nothing about that. But he put it all on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. 19:9.
And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God.
Amen. Blessed are they which are called or invited to the marriage supper. Have you been invited?
Yeah.
I've been invited, so I must go. All right, 20:6.
Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
What does it mean? What's that first resurrection? What's that talking about? Is that the first resurrection after Christ comes, and then 1,000 years later there'll be another one? Now, a resurrection I confess has taken place. That's the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Oversets the second death has no power. Isn't it wonderful we can be raised from the dead? Dead state of sin? Oh, praise the Lord. Ephesians 2 tells about that. All right, last one. Revelation 22 and 14. Might have got it back in.
Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates unto the city.
Oh, blessed are they that do his commandments. Obey is nothing so wonderful as being lovingly, faithfully obedient. I thank you all for your time.
15th chapter kind of tells about the other side of the world.